I'd like us to turn to the book of the message to the Ephesian church, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read the first 10 verses, and then from that passage we will look at our text for tonight for our brief meditation. Chapter 1, Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. Verse 6 is a phrase in there that I must just contemplate in meditation as we think about what Christ has done for us. The last phrase, he made us accepted in the beloved. And that's speaking, of course, to the Father. He made us accepted in the beloved. He made us accepted. Look at that word, accepted. What a state to be in. What a state of privilege. What a privileged state. What an unimaginable privilege. He made us accepted. Now, this includes, of course, our justification before God. That is, we are made right in God's sight. But the term accepted carries with it even more than that. The Greek lexicon points out that it signifies that we are the objects of divine favor. And even more than that, we are the objects of divine delight. He made us accepted. Now, think about it. Who is it that has been made accepted? He made us. We are mortals, created from the dust of the earth, having the breath of God, the breath of the Spirit put into us. And then what did we do but rebel against him, and we are guilty sinners, disobeying his law. There are several passages which refer to the lowliness, the lowness that we have before before God. David quotes it. Isaiah quotes it. Job quotes it. It's that we're in worms. The lowliness, think of how lowly we are. And in this position, God has made us the objects of his divine love. What a privilege. Remember, it's man, not angels. It's man, not angels, that God takes into his own family. And those that he has made accepted are souls unworthy, as we have referred to already, unworthy of that relationship. Yet he made us accepted. What a privileged state we are in. Secondly, unless we think that this privilege belongs to us because of what we are, or because of what we have obtained in ourselves, or what we are have obtained in our lives, we must not forget the next phrase in the text. We are accepted in the beloved. In the beloved. Our acceptance is founded in the blood and righteousness of Christ. God's act of delight in us is considered in Christ. It's a shame that we have to be reminded of that. But we have such proud natures, we think somehow, you know, I'm just a little bit good enough for God to have a delight. Certainly we're not. And this text tells us very clearly we're not. We are accepted in Christ. The beloved, which makes us again reflect upon all that we have in Christ. In Christ, God is well pleased with us. In Christ, he is well pleased with us. And we rest in his love. And this is an amazing instance of grace. It was grace that gave us a being in Christ. We are in the free favor of God. Thirdly, now the knowing of this privileged state of being accepted in our own experience as Christians too often can be based upon our own apprehensions or our own ideas of where we are in the face and the eyes of God. That's when our spirits are alive, our hopes and our anticipation and the future hope that we have is bright. Things are going well. And then it's when we think that God accepts us. It's because that we feel so high, so heavily minded, or so drawn out and somehow set above the earth as we once were. But when our souls are down, we feel little, and the burdens of our own hearts become heavy upon us, and the realities of our own failures before a holy God, we become victims of that fear that we are no longer accepted. That's our feelings. It is important for us to see that all our joy and all our prosperity is not the reason for us to feel exalted in the eyes of God. And also that our low despondencies are not really the reason for us to be deeply depressed in the eyes and the sight of God. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are to stand in that precious privilege of being accepted before God in one who does not change, in one who is always loved by God, in one who is always perfect, in one who is always without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It's in Him. It is then, in whichever state we may be in, we can see how much we are honored by Christ. Again, the point is, we are to rejoice in this high state, in this high privilege of being the objects of God's delight, accepted in the Beloved. And in our remembrance of what our Lord Jesus has done for us in Him, we must remember redemption through His blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, and God the Father has made us accepted in Him. When we look at ourselves, we can say, there's nothing acceptable there. And that is so true. But when we look at Christ, we can see that there is everything acceptable in Him. When we deal with our sins that trouble us, we find ourselves failure in obedience and yielding to those temptations in our own hearts and neglecting and seeking ourselves. We know that in Him, redemption and forgiveness, there is forgiveness of sins. And we have been made accepted in Him. We are highly favored in the righteous one, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Not in ourselves, not in what we've accomplished, not in our feelings, but it's in the Beloved. When we fight against that corruption within us and we wrestle with temptation as it confronts us, we know that we are already accepted in the Beloved. We are highly favored. We are in the Beloved. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus, because He's already overcome the powers of the evil one. And so when we are tempted in sin, we can have a peace of conscience and have a sense of joy. Because the devil cannot destroy us, we have already been accepted in the Beloved, in Him who has broken Satan's head. So in our remembrance of what our Savior has done for us, we can have a full assurance of our great high privilege of standing before a holy God because we are made accepted in the Beloved. And the interesting note in reference to this is those who are in heaven today, those glorified saints in heaven, are not more accepted than we are. They are only accepted in heaven in the Beloved. And it is in the same manner as they are accepted by the Father that we are. In the Beloved. And our hope and anticipation for the glories of heaven is because of what we are in Christ. How important for us it is to be remembering again our Savior's death and what He has done for us and all that we possess in Him. In whom we have been made accepted. having redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Praise God.